Medical malpractice can make even the most seasoned physicians nervous. Litigation, stress, and financial repercussions have effects which can span the entire course of your career if not properly prepared for. That's where risk management comes in. Defined as a systematic effort aimed at identifying, analyzing, controlling, and funding the risks associated with accidental loss, risk management involves risk identification and loss control, as well as claims management and regulatory compliance. This is one of a series of business-minded courses offered by Career Physician and is designed to help you gain an understanding of the ins and outs of risk management and medical malpractice. This course will begin by examining the basics of medical malpractice and some of the issues that can turn a patient into a plaintiff. It will also provide a thorough introduction to one of your greatest tools for loss prevention, professional liability insurance. We'll provide you with three winning strategies to assist in minimizing your risk. And, because litigation is a statistical probability over the course of your career, you'll be given an introduction to medical malpractice litigation, the effects it can have in your practice and your life, and some tools that can help to cope with the stress of litigation. Medical malpractice typically refers to personal injuries, pain and suffering, or disabilities which occur as a direct result of a negligent act. Negligence often translates to medical error, but can also include delay in diagnosis, inadequate pain relief, as well as involvement in a negligent act through proximity. Although the circumstances that transform a patient into a plaintiff are many, legal action is most often motivated by unmet expectations, a perception that information is being hidden or withheld, a desire to protect others, or by financial issues. Most malpractice claims are made based on injuries or adverse outcomes resulting from a medical error, not the error itself. The realities of medical malpractice can be disheartening. One study shows that 96% of physician defendants believe that claims are based on adverse outcomes, not medical errors. Over 80% of the participants also believe that legal action is motivated by a desire for financial gain and do not trust the justice system to achieve a reasonable and fair outcome. So what can you do? As long as you practice medicine, you'll probably never completely eliminate your risk, but you can effectively manage the risk that you assume. There are three distinct methods of risk management: acceptance, avoidance, and transfer. Accepting the risks by yourself, also known as self-insurance, may not cost anything up front, but can place your business, personal assets, and even future income in jeopardy. Your risk exposure can be minimized by utilizing the suggestions provided later on in this course. This is effective in avoiding or reducing some risk, but does not protect your assets in the event of a claim. Finally, you can use insurance to transfer the risk to another party by purchasing professional liability insurance. Insurance may also be provided contractually by the institution which employs you. Although it can constitute a major expense, proper insurance is the first and best method for controlling the losses associated with medical malpractice. Insurance transfers the risk of loss to an insurance company for a recurring fee or premium. By pooling the risk among a large number of insured individuals, the insurance company is able to provide reimbursement or compensation for loss. Professional liability insurance covers claims by patients and, in some cases, family members or the estate. A claim is a demand for payment or compensation and arises from the provision of medical diagnosis and treatment. Professional liability insurance covers money paid in compensation for injury or loss, also known as damages. Damages may include past and future medical expenses, lost wages, pain and suffering, disfigurement, loss of enjoyment of life, marital or relationship loss, and others. Defense costs are also typically covered by the insurance policy. All insurance policies are bound by limits of liability, which are the maximum amounts an insurance company will pay out during the course of the year. For instance, a $1 million, $3 million policy will pay out a maximum of $1 million per medical occurrence with a maximum of $3 million total per year. Defense costs will normally fall outside of the limits of liability, but not always, so it's a good idea to check when shopping for insurance. Every insurance policy contains a number of specific components. The declarations, or cover page of the policy, lists the name of the insured, you, as well as the name of the insurance company and insurance broker or agent, the policy and period limits, the policy number, and the policy form, either claims made or occurrence. Similar information is also listed on the certificate of insurance, which is provided to verify insurance coverage for a third party. Also included in every policy are an insuring agreement specifying the type of coverage as professional liability, homeowners, workers' compensation, or others, definitions, which provide a glossary of words having a special meaning for the policy, terms and conditions, specifying the rights and obligations of the insurance company and the insured, and exclusions, which lists the type of claims excluded from policy coverage. Finally, the endorsement section contains any amendments that alter coverage from standard policy terms. An insurance policy with the appropriate endorsements attached will ensure coverage that best meets your specific needs. There are two forms of professional liability coverage: occurrence coverage and claims made coverage. Occurrence coverage provides for claims when the events giving rise to the claim occurred during the policy period. This is the most comprehensive form of coverage available. Claims made coverage is becoming much more prevalent and covers only claims first made during the policy period. For example, a claim made after the policy expiration, but against events that occurred during the period you were insured, would not be covered. With claims made coverage, you're only protected while your policy is active. Two additional forms of coverage are both intended to fill in the gaps left by claims made policies. Nose coverage is purchased with your new insurance company and means that claims occurring before the start of the current policy are still reported to and covered by your new insurer. The insurance company will normally require any known claims be reported by the start date of the new policy. Tail coverage is purchased through your previous insurance company and allows claims to be made after the primary policy expires. Because tail coverage is purchased from your previous insurer, it's not a good solution if you're concerned about the company's financial stability. Tail coverage can also create confusion, as it may not always be clear whether to report claims to your previous or current insurer. When reviewing an insurance policy, there are several provisions which merit special attention. Take the time to review the consent to settlement provision. Because of the impact of claims on your reputation, this provision gives you the right to agree to settle a claim or continue to fight the claim through legal channels. Some policies may stipulate that if you refuse a bona fide settlement offer and the case ultimately results in a higher verdict, you're responsible for the difference between the settlement offer and the verdict amounts. Determine if legal expenses are in addition to or within the policy's limits. Traditionally, legal expenses, expert witness fees, and other costs are paid in addition to the policy limits. But some policies feature eroding limits, which cause legal expenses to be counted towards the total limits of the coverage. Look for the policy's definition of when a claim is first made. This is most frequently defined as when a written demand for payment is received, but some policies define it as when you become aware of circumstances that are likely to give rise to a claim, even if no complaint has been made. This is also known as the claims trigger, as it triggers your obligation to make a report to your insurance company in order to maintain coverage. Finally, the insured's duty to cooperate establishes your specific responsibilities when a claim is made. This will normally require you to be reasonably available for interviews and depositions and to provide copies of records, policies, and procedures and other documents requested by your insurance company. It will also prohibit you from conspiring with the individual or group filing the claim. When shopping for insurance, you'll have the option of working with an agent or a broker. Generally, an insurance agent will be an employee or licensee of the insurance company. An insurance broker works for you, searching out the best deal for you from a variety of different companies. Every insurance company is licensed and regulated by the state. Policy forms and rates are approved by the state, so there is little flexibility as to the actual wording or layout of a policy. In most cases, you'll find yourself shopping for a policy that meets your needs, rather than revising a policy to your specifications. Insurance companies are bound to statutory accounting principles, which are much more stringent than normal GAAP accounting principles. This means that an insurance company can be declared insolvent by a state, even though they're making a profit. Statutory accounting requires insurers to have enough money in reserve for the long term to cover claims when they are due. AM Best rates insurance companies based on their financial condition and size. For example, a company rated A+ 16 is an A+ rated company with a size rating of 16, which is quite large. Generally, you don't want to select an insurer that is rated lower than an A-. B-rated insurers are in questionable condition, and C-rated insurers have been taken over by the state. You can learn more at ambest.com. With rapidly increasing premiums and reduced availability, professional liability insurance is becoming known as a hard insurance market. Insurance claims have rapidly escalated in severity, due in part to juries' growing willingness to award higher judgments. At the same time, economic conditions have caused a loss of investment income on the part of insurers. This translates to higher premiums and lower availability as insurance companies continue to exit the marketplace, underwriters increase their selectivity, and coverage limits are reduced. Increased claims paid by the insurer in other areas can also have an indirect but dramatic effect on the cost and availability of insurance. In this case, September 11, 2001 was the single largest insurance event in the history of the industry and made an even greater impact because insurers were unprepared for an event of its magnitude and great loss. It's affected insurance companies across the board nationwide. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. This 200-year-old quote from Poor Richard's Almanac holds special relevance in risk management. Career Physician has developed three strategies effective in preventing and addressing many problems before they become claims. First and foremost, you should strive to practice the best medicine possible. You can do this by keeping your medical education current, taking advantage of advances in technology, obtaining the requisite training and skills to use those technological advances, maintaining your clinical competence, participating in the quality improvement and peer review processes, choosing your colleagues wisely, and finally, by identifying and treating impaired professionals. The second strategy is to practice effective communication. Most medical malpractice cases include at least one significant communications issue. Lacking medical knowledge, most patients will use the quality of your interaction with them to gauge the quality of the care you provide. Some specific goals that will help you establish effective communication skills are: develop and hone your active listening skills, strive to create realistic expectations, provide for an effective, informed consent process, disclose adverse outcomes in an appropriate manner, be sure to include a plan of action, and finally, avoid the appearance of negligence. The third strategy is to document effectively. In the event of a later dispute, good documentation is the best evidence of observations made, actions taken, and your overall thought process. Orderly and methodical documentation sets a tone of competence and professionalism. What appears in the medical record is at least as important as the credibility of witnesses in determining the outcome of a medical malpractice case. Some methods for effective documentation are: document examinations and observations, making note of both positive and negative findings, differential diagnosis, and your rationale for decisions. Complete all boxes and blanks on forms. Document in a consistent manner. Document mishaps and complications objectively and omit risk management interventions. Document patients' lack of compliance in a non-judgmental manner. Document specific instructions and warnings. Document the informed consent process and include your specific responses to patients' concerns. Don't imply that others may be negligent. Never destroy, rewrite, or replace an entry in a record. Make a correction or late entry only if necessary to provide for ongoing patient care. And lastly, when making corrections, cross through the original entry, but do not obliterate the date, time, and initial entry. As a physician, you can expect to be named as a defendant in a claim at least one or two times over the course of your career. While this may seem disheartening, knowing what to expect when this happens will go a long way in easing the trauma of litigation. A typical malpractice allegation sounds like this. As a direct result of the negligent acts of the defendant, the plaintiff has suffered permanent and severe personal injuries, has incurred and will continue to incur profound pain and suffering and permanent physical disabilities, some of which may have yet to be diagnosed. If you're named in a lawsuit, legal counsel will be retained for you by your insurance company. As a matter of law, this counsel is bound to represent your interests, not those of your insurer. Because the cost of your defense is covered by your insurer, you have no right to select your own counsel, although you may do so at your own expense. If you feel that you're not being zealously defended or have a personal conflict with your appointed counsel, you should contact your insurance company to discuss your options. Retaining outside counsel may only serve to cause tension with your appointed counsel. Also, outside counsel will have no authority to bind or act on behalf of the insurance company. If you're named in a suit but had nothing to do with the damages claimed, the case against you may be dismissed after depositions and opinions of expert witnesses are presented. This can take a year or more, and the case may not be dismissed if your acts or omissions played any role in the alleged patient injury. For example, it's frequently alleged that a resident failed to contact the attending physician in a timely manner. Sometimes paying a nominal settlement is less expensive than pursuing a vigorous defense, and your insurer may urge you to settle a case that could carry a significant financial judgment. Keep in mind that even a nominal settlement is reportable for credentialing purposes, so it's wise to take the time to review any proposed settlement with counsel. Litigation is stressful. Over 95% of physicians who are sued suffer physically and emotionally, regardless of the final outcome of the case. Being named in litigation immediately reduces your ability to consult with speed and confidence, and can also reduce your tolerance to the uncertainties that characterize the practice of medicine. The stress of litigation can trigger the onset of physical illness or depression, as well as triggering feelings of anger, guilt, shame, frustration, isolation, and betrayal. Being named in litigation can be a huge blow to your self-esteem and can cause you to question every decision that you make. The stress of litigation can have a ripple effect in your life, ultimately impacting your relationships with patients, colleagues, family, and friends. There is hope. Physicians who cope successfully with litigation are able to distance themselves from the suit and not perceive it as a personal attack. Some suggestions to aid in coping with the stress of litigation are: acknowledge that litigation is stressful and likely to occur sometime during your career. Focus on solving the problem rather than responding emotionally. Recognize that litigation is a grief process and expect to go through the stages of grief, such as denial, anger, blame, guilt, and finally acceptance. Avoid isolation and be sure to take leisure and family time regularly. Take the time to learn more about the legal system and the process you're involved in. Communicate with your insurer and defense counsel, and don't hesitate to ask questions. And finally, accept that the litigation process may take years to resolve and that you're not likely to get your day in court. The majority of medical malpractice cases are settled or dismissed before they're ever presented before a jury. In completing this course, you should have an understanding of what medical malpractice is and how you can use risk management to minimize your financial risks. You've been introduced to the basics of professional liability insurance, what types of coverage are available, and some specifics to watch out for when reviewing insurance policies. You've reviewed strategies for minimizing the risk of litigation, which also encourage you to be the best physician you can. Finally, you were given a summary of what to expect from the litigation process and some tactics to help you cope with the stress. Career Physician is committed to providing physicians with business-focused education and tools. While not all risks can be avoided, the proper insurance, combined with the practice of good medicine, good communication, and good documentation, is your best defense.